Sweet Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yup.
You either go to church or you're going to go to hell.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, August 1st, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. So this next story I think is also provocative. The article titled is "Time for the Army Corps of Engineers to Investigate the Feasibility of Moving Water West." And so this is an article in the Desert Sun, which is the Palm Springs paper. And these folks have been lamenting over this issue for quite some time, obviously. And there's, you know, there's interesting stuff going on with the water around the country and around the world, actually. And I suppose there's more that we could say on that. I mean, we just, this is the first day of August. We just finished July, and I was sort of quipping that in areas like Montana, where there was massive flooding, historical flooding, in the months of June and even into July in particular, there's obviously still flooding around the country, but I was being cynical and somewhat crass saying, next, you know, before the flooding even ends, it'll be fire season before you know it. And sure enough, that's happening. There were lightning storms in Montana recently. We used to call them electrical storms. I haven't heard that term in I don't know how long. I don't remember the last time I heard the term electrical storms, but I remember talking about electrical storms growing up. We can't call it that anymore because then the jig would be up and we would know it's not just careless people in the wilderness starting fires all the time. And so where is all this lightning coming from? How is it so perfectly timed? Why is it happening? Absent rain showers, there seem to be a number of occurrences in recent years where there were lightning storms. And many, in fact, I've mentioned on air from time to time, the I think it was the Boise NOAA Center, I believe, that posted an image on Facebook a few years ago about, what was it? It was 15 or 30,000, 35,000 lightning strikes in an evening. And that was without rain, as I recall. So you wonder, how is that happening? I think of Tesla, Master of Lightning is what one of the documentaries, the one narrated by Stacy Keach anyway, was titled Tesla Master of Lightning. So it's just kind of interesting to see the numerous and increasing natural disasters that we're having and strange, curious coincidences. Every year is fire season year, apparently. Anyway, the water and the moving of water and, you know, how that works is interesting. Where the water is drawn from, where it goes to, how some lakes are drying up and then other areas are flooding. You know, speaking of the weather modification, I've talked about other things. Chimley's site obviously is a resource for folks, weathermodificationhistory.com, but also, you know, you have declassified documents. The Naval Weapons Warfare Department obviously declassified internal memos that document the use of weather modification to influence Viet Cong troop movements in the Vietnam conflict. We can't call it war because Congress didn't declare war. So, and some people like to call it theater, which is probably an accurate euphemism, but that is, I think, disrespectful to the folks who served in the military during that time. So, from this article by Don Seeks, special to the Desert Sun. Again, this is Palm Desert area. So, he writes, and I just find this fascinating. You know, this is an ongoing discussion, but for folks in other areas, undoubtedly, they will. There will probably be, they will find this objectionable. And isn't it interesting, again, going back decades and decades, you know, to the Club of Rome, for example, and others telling us that resources would be scarce, that now, all these decades later, water is vanishing from many places and has been in scarcity in some places for some time now, but we still have floods. But you know what? Bill Gates will help us, I'm sure, and figure out how to tame hurricanes and redistribute water. I'm sure there's a buck to be made somewhere. So, from Don Seek's article, numerous letters, including mine of June 30th, have commented recently on the possibility of moving water from the Mississippi River to the Colorado River at Lake Powell, Glen Canyon Dam, on the Utah-Colorado border, and then downstream to Lake Mead, Hoover Dam, Las Vegas, and on through Arizona and beyond. Some of these letters are supportive. This, to me, reminds me of the Mirror Line project. It's just astonishing. The things, it seems arrogant. And how do you commission public works projects like that? Everyone pays for it. Socialism is great. I digress. Some of these letters are supportive and some not. The whole point of suggesting the solution to the Southwest's water problem is to generate a public demand to the Army Corps of Engineers to investigate the feasibility of such a project. The author writes, I suggested diverting 250,000 gallons per second, which is only about 5% of the flow on the lower Mississippi, south of the old river control structure, ORCS, in central Louisiana, 300 miles above New Orleans. This water does nothing except flow out into the Gulf of Mexico. Nothing, according to the author anyway, but it's funny how you start to disrupt ecosystems. You know, that's also one of the fascinating aspects of these discussions. When you are steeped in, you know, Darwinian rhetoric, whether it's social Darwinism or evolution in biology or environmental aspects, and you start to drift more toward a godless state of mind, this kind of hubris just seems par for the course. And when you realize that the things that God makes are finely tuned, then you understand things like the anthropic principle, where there's a delicate balance that's maintained in many cases. And to tweak something here, I mean, what about the butterfly effect? You know, you disrupt the water flow over here and hundreds or thousands of miles away, something bad happens. Continuing, this water does nothing except flow out into the Gulf of Mexico. He says it generates no electricity and doesn't help commercial shipping or recreational boating. It only causes flooding problems in New Orleans. No state above the OCRS would suffer any loss of water, according to the author anyway. If 250,000 gallons per second is impractical, have the Corps consider a flow of 125,000 gallons per second, only 2.5% of the downriver flow, or half of his original number, which would take 2 to 3 years to fill Lakes Powell and Meade. This is a rather rapid and reasonable time frame to solve the water problems of the Southwest. The reason the old river control structure is so important is that it already has the infrastructure used since the 1950s to currently divert 30% of the southbound flow of the Mississippi above the OCRS over to the Atchafalaya River in Louisiana and down to the Gulf of Mexico. No further investment in building a diversion system would be needed. All you need is a big concrete lined. So no further investment in building a diversion system would be needed, but all you need is a big concrete lined ditch to go to the Colorado River, and that's quite a project. Yes, this would require massive pumping stations to lift the water up the Continental Divide at some point. The lowest lift would be 4,000 feet in Campbell, New Mexico, close to Albuquerque. But then it would be all downhill, using gravity to Lake Powell above the Glen Canyon Dam. One writer suggests a series of windmills to generate the electricity, but, of course, you would need holding basins for those times when the wind isn't blowing. That would be the Corps' job to figure out exactly how to generate the electricity. The California Aqueduct from Sacramento to Los Angeles, average 110 feet wide by 30 feet deep, has a capacity of about 100,000 gallons per second. The Edmonston pumping station at the south end of the California Aqueduct lifts that water up 2,000 feet over the Tehachapi Mountains in the Los Angeles Basin. Those old pumps installed in the early 1970s have a capacity of 33,000 gallons per second, which is why they are storage lakes to smooth out the excess flow. The Corps has already installed pumps in New Orleans with five times the capacity of the Edmonston pumps to prevent flooding. The Corps thus already has the experience of pumping these huge amounts of water, so the rest is just academic, right? It's elementary, my dear Watson. It is roughly 1,400 miles from the OCRS to Lake Powell, but that really means building 1,400 miles of something similar to an interstate highway. The U.S. has already built 47,000 miles of such highways, so another 1,400 miles doesn't feel insurmountable. Water conservation on the part of everyone living in the Southwest is certainly important, but conservation simply can't do the job. They have lawns to water, you know. Los Angeles in Palm Desert. Los Angeles couldn't exist without the California Aqueduct. Phoenix and other cities in the Southwest are in the same boat. Their future survival depends upon finding large amounts of new water. And since Bill Gates is building a city out in the desert, or intends to anyway, who knows? Like I said, maybe he'll throw money at it. I feel like the conversations that William in Montana and I had before he passed away about riparian rights in Montana, and particularly around the Crown of the Continent area that is constantly besieged in litigation, frivolous, I would call it. But, you know, the riparian access in the three-directional watershed in the Crown of the Continent area is always in view. Flathead Lake, just I don't even know quite how to couch it, was, I would say, the victim of a water bottling scandal. Dipping into Flathead Lake by way of intrigue, deception, chicanery. There were some bait and switch efforts. The general populace voted no on allowing this, and somehow the bottling effort went forward, which was strange, as those kinds of things typically do. And so again, you know, when it comes to the water and in places like that, you know, and throughout Montana, even in the larger metropolitan areas of places like Kalispell and Missoula, Bozeman, Butte, Billings, Helena, wherever, I would say the vast majority of folks, certainly in the outlying areas, are on wells. And so there is an effort in the stack and pack fashion to, you know, centralize those efforts. And back to the original story, the Mirror Line story in Saudi Arabia, the port city Neom, you heard in the video, this thing is supposed to be 100% renewable when it comes to water supply, which just makes me think it's a giant beehive or ant colony. And John and I have had conversations about that. Brian and Lark and I have had conversations about the term eusociality and the communitarian bent and how you would normalize something like this, getting people to behave like mindless automatons, worse than animals. And that it's just, I mean, what does 100% renewable mean exactly? I think it means, in simple terms, unmentionable things, you know, things that we can't even discuss on air, but gosh, there are underwear commercials on television these days. So what is, what constitutes inappropriate anymore? The line seems to be constantly blurred in an effort to beguile us and hoodwink us into these kinds of efforts. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. This, to me, just reminds me, it's, you know, over here we have people writing these kinds of articles. I think it's outrageous and outlandish and arrogant, to say the least. And hopefully, well, I just think it's, again, I'm astounded. I was astounded when I read this article. So moving on, I wanted to get to this other story real quick. I saw in, speaking of Montana and the Kalispell area in particular, I saw an article in Maury and Connie's paper, the Flathead Beacon. Maury Povich and Connie Chung. The article titled "Flathead Home Sales Dip Reflecting National Trends," and I've been talking, and I passed it around to a few friends, and a couple said, "You could have written that article 6 months ago or something like that." So it's interesting. These things are real. They're happening, and some of us are noticing. I guess one of the most astonishing aspects of this story, I know that the mortgage and the home buying experience is much different than it was back in 2000, you know, the early 2000s, mid-2000s. But still, there are funny things happening, so maybe we'll talk about that. Stick around. I'll be right back after the short break. Thank you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Speaking of the Palm Desert area, you're never cooler than a guy who steps out of a helicopter on his front lawn with, Jack on the Rocks in his hand. Anyway, to the phones. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. The Ray Kurzweils of the world and all of their good intentions and their beliefs all that has to happen is if Lake Mead drops another 50 feet, is it, or so on, and Gavin Newsom and his buddies won't have any power to charge the batteries on their Tesla cars, you see.
Right.
I mean, they've gone, the Kurzweils of the world have gone too intense in something that is not perfected yet, and this is their mistake. They should have gone at it slowly, but then they have an agenda. And this
Yeah, I think they have gone slowly, but the, you know, on the clock, like you said, and they're, I mean, you go back over 100 years ago, the idea was that by 1984, it would all be over but the crying, and then by 2000, and so on and so on.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask a question. You were talking just now about somebody who said, and did I get this right, to pump water from Louisiana, the Mississippi, over to Lake Mead? Is that what I heard? You were talking about a guy.
The story is in the Desert Sun, and the article title is "It's Time for Army Corps of Engineers to Investigate the Feasibility of Moving Water West."
That is the craziest idea I ever heard. All the water in the United States, by the way, is right underneath you there in Montana and over in Minnesota.
Right.
So
yeah,
you're at an
You may remember in Montana and I having that conversation, and Maurice Strong was in view, and riparian rights are an important discussion, more important, I think, than most Americans realize.
Right. Well, the headwaters of the Missouri River are at about 4,000 feet above sea level, and all that drains down, of course. And the water south of the 49th parallel goes south, and all the water north of the 49th goes north. And so all you would have to do is somebody like Bill Gates spend a few hundred million just to fix up the drainage systems that go into Lake Mead, and the whole problem would be solved, probably.
Which is why I mentioned him and his desert city in Arizona. I think he's going to try to make a little Neom himself, so.
Can you imagine the heat that's going to generate?
Yeah.
You've got all of those people in that small volume.
Yeah.
You're going to, that'll be a real ecological disaster. But I wonder what they'll do for a ventilation system. I heard that girl, they must have got her out of Central Casting. This and it's going to be glorious, and
yeah.
Well, anyway, I thought I'd give you a call. Say hi.
Thanks, James.
All right. Okay. I'll talk to you again.
All right. Much appreciated, as always. Right. Yeah, it is. It is an astonishing story, and I just, again, you know, these days, gosh, reading any of these stories, I'm dumbfounded. I think it's testament to the hubris. You know, somebody writes in essentially a letter to the editor, "Time for the Army Corps of Engineer to investigate the feasibility of moving water west." And there's all kinds of other peripheral talking points. You know, the intrigue and deception. Speaking of water and damming and power generation and things, I've mentioned in the past, for example, and I don't know what the latest status is, I should probably look it up, but speaking of Montana and water and power and so forth, the Libby Dam generates a significant amount of power for the western United States, and Lincoln County was supposed to be compensated, particularly for the shoreline
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, we're in a break. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Apparently, the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserves are for the entire world. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Over the past year, the Biden administration has released nearly half of the nation's strategic petroleum reserve, supposedly to help gas prices in the United States. Logic would suggest that those reserves were released to U.S. companies to help U.S. citizens, but not surprisingly, that wasn't the case. The American reserves were released, and at least some of it was offered on an international auction. Records show that at least 5.9 million barrels of Strategic Petroleum Reserve have been sold to UOPEC America, a company owned by the Chinese Communist Party. So while you are still paying $4.50 a gallon to gas up your car, our Strategic Petroleum Reserve is being sold to a foreign government that hates you. Until tomorrow, Civis Pacem, Parabellum.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
Welcome back. So continuing on a sort of parallel line, the riparian stuff, you know, obviously land is an element of that discussion. I mentioned the article, Flathead Home Sales Dip, Reflecting National Trends. For the first time since before the pandemic, the Flathead Valley's housing market is cooling off, yet concerns about housing access and market sustainability remain. And there's a hint at something I think you can see on the horizon. We're about to be summarily devoured. You know, if certain forces have their way, we're all about to be devoured by the funny money scheme. And if the Black Rocks of the world can get a foothold in the housing market and start to cash flow that operation, then I think it spells doom for the rest of it. I think it's a war of attrition that the general public is apt to lose. So from this article, which is interesting, maybe you'll see what I'm talking about or what I think is being hinted at. Most people don't realize that, you know, BlackRock is buying up entire neighborhoods and effectively, you know, towns and cities across America, residential neighborhoods. So this article reads, through midsummer, temperatures in the Flathead Valley are heating up. One thing is cooling down, the housing market. For the first time since before the pandemic, residential and land sales are falling in the Flathead Valley, with 2022 first and second quarter numbers dropping considerably from the same time in prior years. Meanwhile, Flathead residents continue to battle the confounding issues of limited housing supply and exorbitant prices, and it really is astronomical. 2 years ago, you know, just kind of finger in the wind, basically, 2 years ago in that area, a three-bedroom, two-bath, you could find quite a bit for, I would say, between $300,000 and $400,000, and that probably had a small amount of acreage, maybe 1 to 5 acres or something like that. Under $500,000, you could find some stuff with some property. You might have to look a little bit for it. And now all of that has essentially doubled in the course of about 2 years. So it's common, or at least until things cooled off, it was common to find ridiculous junk basically priced around $1 million with nothing special other than, you know, appealing to refugees from California and New York in particular, trying to get as far away from folks like Gavin Newsom as possible. So continuing, Flathead residents continue to battle the confounding issue of limited housing supply and exorbitant prices. Patrick Nagel, Whitefish resident and independent real estate broker, said that he began to see the market drop off substantially around May. Both home sales and prices fell in the area, a phenomenon he attributes to a number of factors, most notably inflation curbing policies, which I would call astounding. I wouldn't say that, but you know, it's fascinating to me in a planned economy how we would think that, again, I've said this recently, actually, you know, a planned economy, essentially nothing is by accident. To think that these things happen by some coincidence or accident is, I think, naive. So continuing, both home sales and prices fell in May, a phenomenon he attributes to a number of factors, most notably inflation curbing policies implemented by the Federal Reserve. With rising interest rates, we're seeing buyers' apprehensiveness to engage in the market, Nagel said. It's also interesting to see how the academic community and those who think themselves very erudite will gobble up the party line on these kinds of things, because it's, you know, as Brzezinski said, nothing makes sense. So to make sense of it, you know, the best thing I can do is sort of toe the party line. So with rising interest rates, we're seeing buyers apprehensive to engage in the market, Nagel said. In the first two quarters of 2022, Flathead County saw 845 residential home sales compared to 1,195 in the same period in 2021, 966 in 2020, and 889 in 2019. A skipping ahead, the Flathead's falling sales mirror overarching national trends. In May, sales of existing homes in the United States were 8.6% lower than a year ago, dropping to 5.41 million units. Building new homes has stalled as well, with national single-family home construction down 15.7% from last year. As inflation drives up the cost of home construction, many projects sit unfinished as developers can't afford to see them through to completion. We're still seeing a big demand in the need for houses, Mark Kuhl, owner and supervising broker at Performance Real Estate in Kalispell, said. We still have a huge buyer demand and a lack of inventory. While price decreases may seem promising for those seeking to find reasonable housing options, Kuhl says they are simply a readjustment of costs that were exorbitantly inflated, and that I think is an understatement, during the pandemic. Reminds me of the video that Aaron and Melissa Dykes did, Christian Media, about this. Though lower in price, homes in the Valley remain largely unaffordable to many and are coupled with higher interest rates. The sharp turn in Northwest Montana's housing market comes on the heels of a pandemic-induced real estate boom, during which many out-of-staters moved to the region to work remotely and escape crowded cities. I'm not aware of any incentives in the area like those that I read in the story from Fortune magazine earlier in today's broadcast. In 2020, Montana saw a net gain of 6,661 partial year state tax filers, a sizable share of whom moved to the state from California, Washington, Colorado, and Oregon. Flathead County saw 4.5% of such tax filing growth. The average income for new arrivals during the pandemic months was around $110,000, higher than the average Montana resident earns. Nagel said he sold properties to a number of buyers from Seattle, Texas, the Bay Area, and Southern California during the pandemic, many of whom he said sought out investment properties to build dream homes, which sounds somewhat like a contradiction in terms. He anticipates that as supply continues to drop and prices remain inflated, wealthy estate buyers will be able to weather the tumultuous market much more easily than middle and working class residents of the valley. In other words, effectively buying and taxing people out of their, not just their homes, but their communities. And this is, I think, part of the ongoing gentrification of all places. You can still find Montana is, I would say, largely ungentrified, which I think is fantastic, and I hope it continues to resist those efforts and forces. You know, just because you can doesn't always mean you should. And there are a number of folks who subscribe to the Sorosian mindset that, you know, the Steve Croft interview from 1998, 60 Minutes. Don't you lose sleep over the fact that you were stealing the personal property from your fellow Jews as you helped load them on the trains? George Soros, no, I don't lose any sleep over that because, you know, funny thing, like markets, if it weren't me, someone would be doing it. So, you know, it wasn't really me doing it. That's essentially what he said to Steve Croft back in 1998. So I think there are a number of folks who are sort of emulating that kind of evil, psychopathic behavior. And it's difficult to resist that when, A, you have obscene amounts of money being thrown at people. Maybe, you know, you bought a place and lived in it for a long time, and then all of a sudden somebody wants to offer you twice what it's worth. To many people, it's easy to be starstruck by those kinds of things, and difficult sometimes to stand on principle, especially when, you know, in some cases maybe husband and wife have different ideas about things, or what the definition of safety and security might be, for example. So it's, I think it's easy to see how this situation probably causes a lot more disturbance than is even visible on the surface. Difficult conversations around the dinner table, for example. So just to finish the article, I think there's going to be a reckoning that's coming. And again, you know, what's hinted at in the last paragraph that I read is, you know, he anticipates that supply continues to drop, prices remain inflated, wealthy estate buyers will be able to weather the tumultuous market much more easily than middle and working class residents of the valley. That, to me, belies the BlackRock effort to buy, you know, to get kind of a critical mass in certain places. Not to buy everything, obviously, but if you get to a critical mass, then you can sort of engineer a tipping point, if that makes sense. And who will qualify to rent the BlackRock homes, I wonder? Or to be a, you know, a feudal lord of his own little fiefdom for BlackRock in this feudalist milieu. So continue, I think there's going to be a reckoning that's coming within the next year, Nagel said. Cash is going to be king. We're definitely seeing people falling out of the marketplace. They're just not competing. Nagel explained that while Whitefish's status as a resort town hangs onto its value more easily, helping its real estate market remain relatively hot despite national downturn, the same is not true in the rest of the valley. The fallout is occurring more in Kalispell than it is in Whitefish. He said, adding that it doesn't look good for those seeking out affordable housing options. Nagel expects home sales will decline further into the fall as inflation and interest rates continue to strain Americans' buying power. The valley is wrestling with some big changes, he said. It is going to be a lean year and people are reexamining their financial focus. And I would add that on the cover of that, the edition of the Beacon that carried that article, volume 16, number 30, the front page, the cover story is growing a new downtown. The future of downtown Kalispell brims with possibility. With it come questions of what the future should look like and who it should serve. And that is a, I would say, a microcosm of the other elements that I read, the other stories, you know, about the Mirror Line in the Port City NEOM and, you know, the broader Belt and Road Initiative, the New Silk Road Initiative, and also the water story that I just read from the Desert Sun in today's broadcast. I think it all sort of goes together, and this gentrification of all things is not necessarily good. You can feel the consolidation and centralizing of everything. The quotes are numerous throughout history of when things are centralized, bad things happen. And that, to me, in my understanding, is why in America, the founding fathers told us explicitly and then acted accordingly in laying out our constitutional republic, that centralization is usually deleterious to the liberties and sometimes the health and well-being and livelihood of the people. But history repeats itself, and here we are again with people beguiled, thinking that centralization is a good thing, especially, and socialist efforts like redirecting water from the Mississippi to Palm Springs is not potentially harmful and not entirely narcissistic and self-absorbed, if not destructive. It's fascinating to see these kinds of things happening. So when it's convenient, socialism, obviously. You can see how people get sucked into these kinds of arguments, especially when you have a fiat economic scheme like we have in America and really throughout the world. I don't know if there are any holdouts to the central banking scheme at this point. I'm not personally aware of them, which doesn't mean that there aren't still any. Usually the Western press is very critical of those folks historically. I digress. Final segment coming up. Stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. You imagine, you know, if you've heard Robert Kiyosaki talk about Rich Dad and him saying, you know, why do you start a business? You think about the story about Ray Kroc, for example, with the business students. I think it was at Harvard, and the students. You know, him asking the students, what business am I in? And the students saying, well, that's easy. You know, one of the students quips, that's easy, Ray, you're in the hamburger business. And he says, no, I'm in the real estate business. So what's the correlation? Well, the correlation is, as Rich Dad says, you start a business to buy real estate. And so imagine that on a massive scale. You know, Bill Gates buying a town, for example, a city, or the efforts with the Port City NEOM coinciding with the Belt and Road Initiative. And you start to get a picture of what certain people have been trying to tell us over the decades and generations. You know, what's been happening in America. The conversation that, or conversations that William and Montana and I had before he passed away about, again, Maurice Strong. You know, if you're not familiar, maybe go watch James Corbett's two-part documentary, How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World. And just imagine on a massive scale these efforts to herd people into large urban centers. And you can see it in the headlines. Speaking of local news, there are some, you know, I see it in everything. Here's an edition of the Daily Interlake. Speaking of these local papers in Montana, Western governors meet in Idaho to discuss common issues. And that's interesting. You know, part of that effort, again, speaking of centralization, kind of continuity of government, command and control type stuff, planned economy type stuff. Associated Press story, scorching heat wave extended in Northwest. But this also coincides with the things I talked about. This article from the Hungry Horse News. What the heck is the Hungry Horse News? Just kidding. On the Glacier Gateway, that's where that is. Judge rejects effort to close Blankenship to camping. So a federal judge has ruled against a group of concerned residents who want to shut down a Forest Service managed camp on a gravel bar just south of Blankenship Bridge on the Flathead River. It gets pretty crazy out there, from what I understand. In a 20-page ruling on July 15, U.S. District Court Judge Donald Molly ruled that Friends of the Flathead River hadn't proven their case that the Flathead National Forest was mismanaging the area by allowing people to drive on and camp on the gravel bar. So that's an interesting story. But, you know, in related stories, there are a number of these kinds of groups that are trying to hamper people's access to the wilderness. This is slightly different, you might argue. But, you know, I talked about similar efforts in logging and mining a couple of weeks ago. Where do people ask, where do activist groups get the money to engage in protracted legal battles? It's interesting. We're digging in. That'll do it for today's broadcast. That was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central. And Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.